Are we capable of traveling through time? Is it possible that some of the alien abductions reported each year are actually the result of our very own species visiting us from the future? Dr. Bruce Goldberg is next on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Bruce Goldberg, holding advanced degrees, dentistry, counseling, psychology, his hypnotherapy practice here in Los Angeles specializes in reincarnation, time travel, consciousness raising, and Dr. Goldberg has written numerous books and appeared all over the place and conducted thousands, I mean thousands of past life regressions and future life regressions on thousands of patients since 1974. Past Lives, Future Lives, his first book written on taking patients into the future. Now we talk about time travelers from our future. Here he is, Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Bruce, how are you?
I'm fine, George. Thank you, or should I say, a.k.a. Dexter Monterey,
That's
for your
right.
kind introduction and the privilege to be with you for the 31st time on this fine network.
My God, you keep rolling along, my friend.
Now, this morning and Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, wherever you are listening out there, folks, we're going to discuss the biggie here, parallel universes, how to see them, teleportation, of course, reincarnation, and time travel smart future. I will reveal precisely the technique and the mechanism of time travel and discuss actual cases of people who have visited parallel universes and returned to talk about it, including myself, by the way, and how we can all visit these parallel universes, contact time travelers, and even teleport.
How did you get involved in this, Bruce?
Well, basically, I started out, 1974, I was going to dental school, and I decided to experiment with hypnosis for my dental practice at the time, and I read the Bridie Murphy story, so I started using the idea of taking people into past lives with hypnosis. And then, of course, later on, after doing that for about 3 years, I asked the patient to go to the origin of a problem. She decided to go to the 23rd century, so that was the birth of future life progression hypnotherapy. And then I wrote my first book, Past Lives, Future Lives, which became an international bestseller. And then after working with that for a few years, I came across a lot of ET abduction cases, missing time episodes, so then came the ET aspect of my life. And then after working with future life progression, being a futurist as I am, I also discovered the concept of people actually communicating with time travelers from our future, and then the time travelers came in, or the chrononauts. So basically, my career has had a progression, no pun intended, from simple use of age regression, past life regression, all the way through ET abductees and time travelers, and of course now parallel universes, which I call paragression as another name for a new subspecialty, which is what we're going to be talking about tonight, among other things.
Dr. Ronald Mallett, physicist, we've had him on the program, probably have him back on again in a month or so. He is obsessed with developing a time machine to go back and see his father, whom he truly didn't have a long relationship with. Just the thought, Bruce, of time travel excites so many people. Is it really possible?
Well, of course it has, and we're going to discuss some cases documented that have been done throughout history to show that, of course, it's possible. The actual theoretical mentality, when we deal with people like Stephen Hawking, when we deal with Kip Thorne, the Caltech Pasadena astrophysicist who won the bet with Stephen Hawking about black holes, out-debated the man. He actually came up with the actual theoretical model, which we're going to be showing in our first figure this evening, showing the actual. He wrote an article in 1988. For the Physical Review Letters, which is a very technical physics journal. And he did it as a favor to the late Carl Sagan, who wanted to make his novel Contact, which eventually became a feature film, technically accurate. Well, Kip Thorne's model, basically, and we're going to show a little kind of a depiction of what his model looks like. This is a quote from the article. He says, and this is quoting Kip Thorne, "One can imagine an advanced civilization pulling a wormhole out of the quantum foam and enlarging it to classical size. From a single wormhole, an advanced civilization can make a time machine." So we're going to discuss in a few moments the actual techniques of something that will be developed in detail in the year 3050 called the Wormhole Linear Accelerator, and we're going to show you how Tatos, the first time traveler, actually did this, and or will do this in 1,000 years, give or take, and how people have been going back in time throughout history. But before we do that, I do want to also thank you very much for, you wrote a very nice blurb review for my newest book, Egypt, an Extraterrestrial and Time Travel
You're
Experiment,
welcome.
And you said this is for your audience. Dr. Bruce Goldberg has captivated the mind with his riveting theory of ETs and ancient Egypt, a must read. And in honor of that, and also to your audience, I want to repeat the offer I made last time I was on your show, and that is that people who order the Egypt book directly through my site or my office, or the Past Lives, Future Lives Revealed book, which also deals with time travelers too, they will get a free past life regression CD, which will guide them into their own past lives, including ancient Egypt, which I feel each of us have lived, but they can only get the free CD if they order that through my office and mention the offer from your listeners, because this is the only show I make that offer. So I just want to establish that as a gratitude and as an appreciation for you and what you represent.
I thank you, Bruce. I had an opportunity to witness you giving someone a past life regression a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was amazed at how she seemed to emotionally get distraught as she went into it. Are you careful about that?
Well, yeah, as you remember now, the woman was also perfectly safe, even though going...
Oh, yeah, she was safe. There's no doubt. But you could see it on her face.
Right. And she was also going back into ancient Egypt, which made that a very topical,
yes,
very, very relevant. And also, just to make it, without going into too many issues here, you also witnessed a regression of a skeptic, too, to show you how you don't have to believe in this field to actually go through the experience.
That's true.
So,
that's
but true. Yeah, but people go through, you know, in the old days, you know, the old Freudian theory of catharsis, where people would go through some emotional episode that was somewhat traumatic just to relive it and then to remove the emotional aspect, and that's supposed to solve their problems. In reality, it has nothing to do with it. The reality of my therapy deals with what's called the superconscious mind tap, which deals with the idea of not just re-experience emotions. That really isn't the issue. The issue is raising the quality of the soul's level, the superconscious mind that we have as our guide, as our perfect part of our soul, and to introduce our subconscious to the superconscious, and therefore, when you do that, then you raise the level of consciousness, where therefore you're able now to remove and resolve and overcome any issues that you were previously vulnerable to. So that's really a theory. But dealing with the idea of parallel universes, I'd like to just give a little bit of the theory part first before we start discussing some of the actual cases. The actual people think a parallel universe is a Twilight Zone episode, which it is, by the way.
And I love those.
Aren't they great? 40 years ago plus, almost 50 years ago, they're great. Also, the concept of novels and other feature films. But there's a reality to this. I just quoted Kip Thorne, but here's a reality. Stanford University, a well-known Ivy League university in Northern California, you have Andre Lind, and you also have Alan Guth, who are professors up there, and they came up with a theory about the idea of the origin of our universe. This is called the inflation theory. The cosmos, after emerging from the Big Bang about 15 billion years ago, give or take, then underwent a second big expansion called inflation. Subatomic particles called magnetic monopoles were created, which provide the energy that fuels this consistent cosmic inflation. These particles, these magnetic monopoles, as they're called, can be portals in space-time, and I'm now quoting Stanford University, through which new space flows into our universe. Monopoles sprout new universes separate from our own. In other words, these magnetic monopoles created after the Big Bang give rise to, in fact, parallel universes. The actual first depiction of that in a scientific basis was in 1957 in Princeton University. Hugh Everett III was working on his doctoral dissertation called The Many Worlds Interpretation, his PhD thesis. He began it in 1954, which is interesting because it was Princeton, and Einstein, who died in 1955, was alive in 1954 and probably reviewed his thesis in the beginning anyway. And the thesis was completed in 1957, and for the past 51 years, although many have tried, no one has disavowed the many worlds interpretation or the concept of parallel universes. It actually comes out of the theory of relativity, which, of course, Einstein developed first in 1905. And in fact, if you deal with the superstring theory, if you break that down with all the math, what comes out of that is the theory of relativity. And,
mm-hmm,
of course, the idea of black holes, white holes, and parallel universes is also a component of that. So we have all that. Now, the one difference we should understand is this, is that the figure I'm going to show you, actually two of them together, is really dealing with more of physical parallel universes. When I deal with the idea of the case histories, which we'll describe, including my own, this is actually our consciousness that creates parallel universes and how we can explore it in what I call the new you technique. So the consciousness exploration, which people can do themselves, and I'll show them how to do that, is very different in theory from the actual physical manifestation, because the physical manifestation we're going to describe is how time travelers actually send crafts back in time through this black hole, wormhole, white hole combination to go into parallel universes.
Do you have to have parallel universes in order to travel in time?
Yes, basically you do. See, when a time traveler comes back in time, this actually destroys or nullifies the problem with the grandfather paradox. And we all know what that is, but just to make it simple, people say if you go back in time, not only are you violating causality, which, by the way, is not a problem today, but they say if you go back and kill your grandfather and therefore you don't exist, therefore you wind up in a black hole and nothing happens to the universe and we all become, you know, we all just disappear. Well, in reality, when a time traveler travels back in time, or anybody else travels back in time, as we'll show you the techniques, then you actually are traveling back not to this universe, but to a parallel universe, a sister universe. And therefore, you make changes in that universe, mm-hmm. even if you did proverbially kill your grandfather in a parallel universe by going back in time, let's say 80 years ago, whatever. Well, that person, that grandfather would be dead, and you would not exist in that parallel universe. But the universe you emanated from, you originated from, would be unaffected by that particular event.
The parallel universe, is it identical to the one you're in?
Physically, but not event-wise. And we'll show you the case history to show you an example.
Okay.
Basically, in other words, if you go back to a parallel universe, you know, if you go into a parallel universe, whether you go into the future or the past, you can travel either way. We'll show you in a moment how you do that. Basically, the physical environment will be the same. You'll have, you know, the cities you live in, your husband, your wife, or whatever. They'll all be there. The people will be
there. They're all the same.
DNA is exactly the same. So genetically, you're there. Your passwords in your computer will probably be the same, too. Okay, but what will be different will be events. In a parallel universe, for example, Robert F. Kennedy was not assassinated, according to several of my cases, and he became elected president in 1968 in the parallel universe.
Which is ongoing right now as we speak.
Right. As a matter of fact, Lincoln is the president right now as we speak. You know, there is a time. There's no such thing as time. It's we label it, but in reality, all time is simultaneous and all time is occurring at the same time. So I did want to give the little bit of the theory part before we go into it. Now, do we have time to go through that figure?
Yeah. But let me ask you this. Do you physically need machinery, some kind of mechanism to travel in time?
No, as a matter of fact, one of the books you were kind enough to put on the site is Custom Design Your Own Destiny. It's one of my newer re-releases of an updated book.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a CD program called Custom Design Your Own Destiny, which will show you the consciousness shift. You can actually, your listeners and you too, can actually currently, right now, if you want, by using certain techniques, certain hypnotic techniques, you can actually have your consciousness like an old, remember the old dancing balls or the old TV shows, the sing-alongs where you have it following the dancing?
Yeah, the bouncing ball.
Do that. Your consciousness, your soul, which is what we're dealing with, can actually switch tracks and go from one parallel universe to another. There's no harm involved. You're still functioning on this universe, but now you can observe and receive information and actually be physically on a different sister universe. And the closest sister universe, according to Scientific American, August 2000 issue, pages 62 to 69 was the cover story of that particular journal. And on the bottom of page 67, it says the nearest sister universe is less than 1 millimeter away, which is 1/400th of an inch. So close, yet so far.
Amazing.
Now, if we can go to the, for your listeners who do have computers,
right.
By the way, there is, and of course, if you're on your homepage where it says the images I provided, if they click onto that, they'll go to the figure one, as I call it.
All right. And for those who don't have computers, paint pictures while you talk.
Right. If they don't have computers, yes. Okay. Well, I'll explain anyway. What you have is, if you look at figure A, on the left-hand side, you'll see a large letter A, and then you'll see a figure showing a black hole, a wormhole, and a white hole.
Yep.
Now, the black hole is really technically rotating, so it's not a static issue. The black hole, if you enter it, you go into the past. If you enter the white hole, you go into the future. It's simply the reverse mirror image of the black hole. And this is all mathematically demonstrated by the theory of relativity and superstring theory.
And these are out there in the universe.
Right. They're out there in the universe. A black hole is simply an initial stage of a collapse of a star, which is in which matter is squeezed to produce a singularity, to be technical.
All right. And what is the white hole?
The white hole is simply the opposite. It's the mirror image. It takes you into the future. It runs in reverse time sequence.
And yet we don't see those, right?
No, you don't see those because they're basically microscopic. But we're going to show you how the time travelers in the future enlarge them to classical size, actually very large enough to have a spacecraft go in there, which we'll go through in a moment. The wormhole is also known as the Einstein-Rosen bridge, which means that this is a time machine. It's a natural time machine that does not, and I repeat, does not violate causality. Now, if you go down just before the letter B, you'll see where it shows you a little spaceship. You see a little drawing of a spaceship.
I see it there. Entering the black hole.
Right. Now, it says our universe. So this is the universe you're in now. Let's call this frequency number one. I use the word frequency to describe universe. You enter the wormhole, the Einstein-Rosen bridge, and now you're taken to a white hole, okay, which is the reverse image. And now you're in a parallel universe. And then there's another black hole and another wormhole, and then you go to another white hole. So now you're in parallel universe number two.
So we're basically dealing here with three universes, right?
Well, actually, there's an infinite number, but
I mean, just on this chart.
On this chart, you can say, right, we got our universe is really, you want to call that number one, and I call that parallel universe number one and two, but you're right, there are three universes involved totally on this picture. Now, your consciousness can create parallel universes just by thinking about it. That's what quantum physics shows mathematically. Our thought creates reality. This is like what the bleep, you know, among others. So basically what happens is that a time travel ship entering the black hole, eventually the wormhole to a parallel universe back in time, would normally be crushed and made like a McDonald's French fry, except you line the black hole or the wormhole, shall I say, with exotic matter, which moves forward in time and has negative mass, the opposite of antimatter. And that technology we do not have today. So with all due respect to Professor Mallet, it's not going to happen until we develop exotic matter. And all the superconductors we have working today have not and will not produce exotic matter for another 1,000 years. That's the one clink here that prevents us from having a time machine right now. So people who claim that they have a time machine and they try to market those things, I have a ticket to the Brooklyn Bridge, which I'll be happy to exchange.
So you do not believe in the John Teeter time traveler story?
No, we've gone through that many times before. That the answer to that is no. That is a pigment of somebody's imagination. There is no time machine in 2036, which is where he allegedly comes from. Come back in time, it will take 1,000 years and 14 years from that time for time travel to be actually established. So this is the theoretical mentality of going back in time. When you enter the parallel universe, you are going to, or you want to go back in time by using this wormhole linear accelerator, you actually are going back into a parallel universe, and then you will wind up, when you go back home, your home base, so to speak, you'll wind up in the original universe you started. But the travel in between will be to a parallel universe. And that's the basic theory of all this, by the way, that I'm describing is totally backed by not just my research or the research of, you know, Einstein and Edward Witten at Princeton University and Alan Guth and Andre Lindy at Stanford, but you've got everybody from Bryce DeWitt. You have, John Wheeler. You've got Richard Feynman's originally work, the Nobel laureate. You've got tons of people who will support the theoretical models of this. What they won't give you is what we're getting tonight, are actual case histories, which I'll describe in a moment, of actual people who've done that, including myself. Perfectly safe, by the way. Perfectly safe.
Is this also, though, how physical UFOs travel?
Yes, it is one of the theories that UFOs can actually travel into parallel universes. Actually, they can do something called warp drive. The Alcubierre warp drive is a technique that's actually like Star Trek. You know, warp 9, Scotty, give me some more dilithium crystals, except you don't need dilithium crystals for this. Bending space-time, bending the fabric of space-time is how you can go from one end to the universe, which may be thousands or hundreds of thousands of light years away. You know, the Milky Way is 100,000 light years across our galaxy. You can actually go through that in a lot shorter time than 100,000 years traveling the speed of light, and you don't have to travel the speed of light. You're folding over time, so you're zipping like a rubber band and a paperclip from one end of the universe to the other in nanoseconds, and therefore that is how Zeta Reticuli, which is about 25 light years away, the grays can come there and do, by the way, and have. They can also travel through parallel universes and make it even faster. So the answer is yes, and that's one of the ways in which they do that. Interdimensional travel is very well known among extraterrestrials and futuristic beings.
Bruce, when we come back, I want to chat with you about time travelers, abductees, and how this occurs, and we'll go through more of these charts here that you've provided for us with our special guest tonight, Dr. Bruce Goldberg. His website, drbrucegoldberg.com. If you are a StreamLink member, well, you can join the chat tomorrow because we have as our guest chat, John Lear. That's right. Available to you on Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Pacific time, 11 p.m. Eastern time. So go ahead. And by the way, you can join StreamLink and you should be able to chat with John Lear with his incredible stories tomorrow as well. StreamLink on Coast to Coast AM. Bruce, let's talk a little bit about time travelers and abductees.
Okay. I did want to, before we do that, do you mind if I just cover that one case? This is a parallel universe case.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, let's let that flow.
It was related to our first chart in our discussion. This is a case I did back over 20 years ago. On October 4th, 1986, a patient of mine, I'll refer to her as Mildred, she completed the therapy and she was trained to use what I call the new U technique, which guides people into the parallel universes. So she tried the technique. She had one of my custom designed Your Own Destiny CD albums to do this. And this is what happens. She sees herself, she's from Washington, D.C., but she has, her parents live in Texas. So in her dream, as she called it, she sees herself in Texas visiting her parents. But when she looks at the television news, it's October 4th, 1988, not 1986. She feels uncomfortable about this date, so she checks the various publications, the newspaper, the TV guide, etc., and she confirms that it is, in fact, October 4th, 1988. This is frequency number two, so bear that in mind. Now, to prove that this was a dream in this frequency that she's in, she goes to the backyard of her parents' house and buries a coffee can with a note that she wrote to herself stating that it was really October 4th, 1986, and she included the masthead from the local Texas newspaper showing that it was October 4th, 1988. Now she awakens from her little dream, as she calls it, back in frequency one, the original frequency. She picks up the newspaper at her home, and she sees that's in fact now October 5th, 1986, the following day. Okay, she calls her parents and says, how are things going? Did anything happen the previous day? And they said, no, everything is fine. Okay, so now Mildred, she says, okay, I don't know what's going on here, she says, but what happened was that she, I asked her when the last time she saw her parents, and she responded that it was in April of 1986, and that seemed to coincide with her memory. So now we go back to, we fast forward this again now. By the time Mildred visited her parents in Texas again, it was April of 1988. Now, this is frequency one, the original frequency. The event was the trip was uneventful. She went to the backyard, dug up the tried to dig up the coffee can. Nothing was buried there, so everything was fine. The following trip was November of 1988, and during this trip, she went into the backyard with her parents and had her parents dig up the coffee can. And they did, and they found the note that said, this is October 4th, 1986, along with the October 4th, 1988 masthead. So the parents were going, saying, what's going on here? You came here and you didn't visit us, like, and you buried a coffee can? And she told them the truth, and they, being very conservative, straight-laced, blue-dog Democrats, I guess, whatever you want to call them, they just looked away and said, look, we don't want to hear about this again.
Jeez.
All right, now what happened here? What happened was that frequency number one, there was no buried coffee can. There was no October 4th, 1988 visit to Texas, but there was a November 1988 visit where she dug up the coffee can. On frequency two, she does bury the coffee can on October 4th of 1988, but it was actually, in her mind, October 4th of 1986. Now, what this means is that these frequencies are different, but there is an interaction. After October 4th of 1988, now the coffee can is buried in both frequencies, but not before. That's why she couldn't dig it up when she was there previously in April. You see? So now she went back from frequency 1 to frequency 2, back to frequency 1, and that's where she is today. And this is an example of the new U technique. This is an example of a documented, if you want to use that term, example of a person traveling into parallel universes, perfectly safe, and we can all do that. This is what I call the new U technique, and this case is described in detail in the Custom Design Your Own Destiny book, and the CD program, of course, helps you do that. So here's an example of something that, now, when I did this case, this was over 20 years ago, I said, you know, this is kind of fun, so I decided a few years later, when I moved out to California, I was involved with a project which was a potential project for the movie for television, The Search for Grace, which eventually became, and I found that the frequency I was on, the movie was not going to be aired. The treatments were not going to go to completion. CBS was not going to air it, and the project was going to fail. So I decided to use my new you technique, my custom design your own destiny little CD album, and I saw a frequency, which in this case was number 4, and you'll see why there are 5 major frequencies that fit into the paradigm. Mm-hmm. There's an unlimited amount of each, but you have 5 major pathways to choose from. And in frequency number 4, I saw the project would not only go to completion and the movie would air, but something else happened. I saw myself a few years later with a beautiful young blonde woman that was to be my soulmate. You've met Morning Song.
I have.
Okay, last July during the Ouija board show.
During the Ouija board show.
So not only did the movie air on May 17th, 1994, but several years later in the year 2000, I was fortunate enough to meet my lovely wife and soulmate, Morning Song. And by the way, her picture is on my website. If you go to the link that says Energy Healing for Children on the left toolbar, you'll see her picture and her description of her practice and her work. So here's an example of how I personally have done this. And now I'm on my ideal frequency, which was frequency 4. And if I can do it, if Mildred can do it, anyone can do it. And that's what we call parallel universe switching or the new you technique.
So you're saying you changed your destiny.
Yeah, basically what we're saying is that it's sort of like, think of it this way. It's like, you know, there's a big, big pie out there. And if you don't like, here's how your listeners can do this. This is very serious now. I get a lot of emails from your audience from this, and this is very serious stuff. And it sounds a little bit strange to some people, but believe me, I really have empathy for people who write me. They say, look, doctor, is there any way I can go back into the past and change my past? Maybe they have a criminal record. Maybe they have a mental or physical handicap. Maybe they have a lost loved one. They lost their mother or their spouse or whatever, and they can't change that. Well, in reality, they can change it on this frequency, but what they can do is use the new you technique, custom design your own destiny, which is why I call it that, switch paths. They can actually go to the parallel universe as I did and as Mildred did, which were becoming more of their ideal path. This is a lot better than just being depressed, or some people get suicidal, or some people go to drink or compulsive behavior of eating or gambling, whatever they're doing. Here you can actually change your life and your destiny by simply choosing one of the other options. Now, what happens to the other frequencies that you left? Nothing. You still have a soul and you still have a body, and my frequency, which is ideal, is not necessarily your ideal frequency or somebody else's. So you can choose your ideal frequency, which is ideal for you, but may not be ideal for somebody else. But if it isn't, it doesn't matter. Their physical body is going to be there, and their energy that occupies your body, we call the soul or the subconscious, is going to be there too. It's a question of simply, what are you aware of? If you're not aware of it, it doesn't exist as far as you're concerned. In fact, I do feel that, and I'm not the only one, the physicist Fred Alan Wolf and many others agree with me, I feel that schizophrenia, which people are hearing voices in their head, is simply being trapped between elevator floors, so to speak, and hearing voices from a parallel universe and not being able to differentiate. And I do feel that's one of the causes, if not the main cause, of what we call psychotic disorder today.
Why do you believe that those who feel they have been abducted by UFOs could be possibly time traveling?
Well, because the UFOs that are abducting them, some of them are in fact time travel teams, which I'll discuss in a few moments. So, I mean, that's the issue. If it's the current day ETs from the current century, then they're not time traveling. They're simply just going from one end of the universe to the other by using warp drive and other techniques. So they're not necessarily time traveling. Very few, only about 15% of my abductee cases represent time travel.
Okay. Okay.
So, but here's an example before we go on to another one. This is a simple exercise that anyone can do. I'm not going to do hypnosis on the air or anything. Just simply going to show you something that you can go, and this is a little clip from my Custom Design Your Own Destiny book. Just use a white light protection technique. If on my website I have, you know, several exercises, all of which have a white light protection.
And a reason for this?
The reason for this is simply everybody on the earth is exposed to some form of negative energy and psychic attack, so that protects them. At the same time, it makes them more relaxed and calm, and for people who think that it might be dangerous, which it isn't, the white light protection simply nullifies that anxiety and allows them to relax a little bit better. So if you go to any of the exercises on my website, you'll see the white light protection. So use that as a beginning, and you can play some nice music in the background, some metaphysical music, whatever you like, whatever new age music or calm music you like. Take a deep breath and hold it, let's say, for the count of 8. Let it out slowly and let yourself just relax. And then imagine, visualize 5 doors in front of you, each with the word future printed on it in large, bold letters. These doors are numbered 1 through 5. Because in my theory here, there are 5 major options out there, or frequencies.
All right.
Think of a situation or an upcoming event that you would like to explore. Gather the actual facts you currently have available on this particular circumstance. Review it in your mind. Now open up the door labeled Future One and perceive how this situation will unfold.
The way you want it or the way you think it might?
How it will unfold. Don't try to manipulate it. You're not trying to play games of visual of fantasy here. You're trying to deal with reality now.
Okay, and this is your best judgment then?
Yeah, you're just being a receiver, not a transmitter. Here,
okay.
That's what I'm saying. So you're perceiving how the situation will unfold. Your subconscious mind will give it to you. Try to observe as many details as you can. Refrain, and this is important, from getting emotionally involved with this option.
Which isn't easy.
I know. That's why the white light protection, that's why a little experience helps here. All right. Then repeat this procedure for the doors enabled Future 2, Future 3, Future 4, and Future 5. Then you choose the door that meets your best goal and meditate. In other words, whatever you find the ideal, and there will be an ideal future, by the way. There's always one very, very ideal one. And then simply meditate on the door number. Let's say it's Future 4, like it was in my example.
Well, what if you can only come up with 3, Bruce?
Well, you know, something with a little practice, if you only come up with 3 and you don't have an ideal frequency, then simply say, okay, very good, log it in, then do it the next day, and then simply get the other 2. It'll come in time.
But you're saying you must have the 5.
Well, you don't must, but if you did 3 and you found the frequency that blows your socks off, okay?
Yeah.
Keep the socks off and take the frequency, okay?
You got it. Okay.
You see how it works? All right, so but here's something that another case that I wanted to specifically mention on this show because of your background from Detroit. Here's a woman from your hometown that did something that was really strange and parallel universe-oriented that worked out very nicely.
What happened?
I call her Andrea. She wanted to view her future of her current life in order to resolve a lot of issues with a relationship with her husband. She had psychosomatic illnesses, and financial future was a relevant issue. She suffered from arthritis and back pain, insomnia, all kinds of things, right? In addition to the fact that she and her husband were drifting apart big time. So she does the new you technique. But before she does that, she does the progression in her current frequency, and she finds out that one Saturday night in her hometown of Detroit, she's going to be at an intersection and shot and killed by a drive-by shooter. Okay? Well, this obviously wasn't her best frequency.
Not at all.
She decided to go through the other 4, and she found out an ideal frequency where she was to move to Florida. Her husband would retire from his job. They would move to Florida. He would become a consultant. She would be relatively happy. She would overcome her illnesses, or at least be, you know, pretty good shape health-wise, and things would work out rather well. So it's 5 years later from the time I completed with her. This is now about 15 years ago. She calls me from Florida 5 years later, and she tells me, Doctor, I want you to know that everything has manifested, that my ideal frequency has come true, but something really weird is part of this. And I said, what's that? She kept in touch with her hometown, Detroit. Of course, some of her family lived there. And she got her hometown newspaper, and the very night that she was supposed to be shot and killed, somebody else was shot and killed in Detroit on that exact same intersection, on that exact same date. There are no coincidences.
No, there are none.
So here's an example of, now again, this woman is not responsible for the other woman's death. I'm not saying that. And you say somebody had to be shot and killed. Maybe that was the Lords of Karma functioning here.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
The good news for Andrea was that it wasn't her. And this is an example of avoiding a fate worse than death, as people describe. And here's an example of using the new you technique and how anyone, by the way, can do this. So
that's incredible, Bruce.
Well, this is kind of fun. By the way, also, you mentioned before, and I just want to repeat it again because people have been emailing me like crazy here. If they don't have a computer, obviously the drbrucegoldberg.com, which is on your site, but for those people that are listening to this on StreamLink in the future, the drbrucegoldberg.com is my website. But those of your listeners that don't have computers, if they want to get the free exercise, the out-of-body experience, and the first 200 callers will get the access to the Akashic Record exercise, which is how I was able to perceive your 2 future lives, they can call my 1-800-527-6248 or 1-800-KARMA, K-A-R-M-A, the number 4, and the letter U. But please, folks, do not call if you've got a computer because everything is on there, including my workshop link for your Southern California listeners. I'll be doing a workshop in Lancaster, California on September 27th where I'll be doing these techniques of the new you as well as soul healing and reincarnation, past life regression, and future life progression. So this is an example of what anyone can do. And I'm not really special because I've developed these techniques. It's simply out there. Just like people discovered fire, we discovered electricity, we discovered forms of energy. Anyone can do this. It just takes a little bit of patience and a little bit of both theoretical understanding, which is why I write the books, and a little bit of using a simple CD program, which has instructions to make it doable and so that anyone can do this. And also, people want to see this. You know, some people are afraid of these techniques. So I think it's kind of weird. The website has 13 different videos on there, which actually shows people contacting time travelers, going into past and future lives. Jerry Springer's past life is on there. People who have overcome psychic
attacks. You've got Art's past life in there, don't you?
I don't have a video of his, but yes, Art's life in Atlantis is on there. In the toolbar, there's an article. I've written over 30 articles on the site, and one of them is Art Bell's life in Atlantis, which they can get on the left toolbar of the homepage. They can see that and click right onto it. There's also pictures or artist depiction of what time travelers actually look like on the article called Meet a Real Time Traveler, which they can see from the homepage. So there's lots of fun stuff on there. That's what that's all about. Now, you wanted to discuss some examples of abductees here.
Yes.
Okay. Now, there's the next chart. The next chart for those listeners who have the computer, where there's it looks like a man sitting on a bench looking at a hologram of a past life. And you can see it's a past life because there's a little horse and buggy in front of this large building.
Right.
And I label it says, this is an abductee aboard a UFO being shown holograms of their past lives.
Looks
time
like
travelers follow us to their past lives.
The mid-1800s, it looks
so
like.
It looks like the mid-1800s, you're right. Now, by the way, the hologram could also be part of a military base. They're underground. Military bases where abductees are taken to, not just UFO craft. So therefore, we now have a government conspiracy, which just happens to be the example of Tina. Tina was a woman who I worked with about 15 years ago. She was a mid-30s Southern California woman and a mother, and she had complaints of compulsive eating, back pain, headaches, and most importantly for our case here, nosebleeds. Her son, Brad, as I call him, also had unexplained nosebleeds. Tina had experienced many missing time episodes, and her young son, Brad, began drawing pictures of aliens that he dreamt about while he was in art class. Okay? All right, so this is what happens. She also has half-inch scars on her right calf and scoops scar on her left calf, which is typical of abductees, as you know. Her missing time episodes have been witnessed by both her boyfriend, her living boyfriend, as well as her son. Here's an example. Since the age of 7, she has been abducted over 40 times. We did a regression, and we found out one of the examples of one of the abductions. She's taken to an underground laboratory installation in which humans who spoke perfect English examined her. There were military personnel dressed in American Air Force uniforms, so now we have the government collusion. She was related how she flew in the small transporter throughout the laboratory with no driver. This open cockpit vehicle seemed self-propelled, and the area of the laboratory seemed immense in size. Now, this is what she described. In going through this procedure, she's now describing herself from leaving the actual room of her home, going into the craft. This is how she describes her levitation. Okay. My legs are straight out in front of me. I was moving through a small opening, feet first. I do not feel the pressure of anyone holding me. I was floating through the air. I was passing through a small portal opening, not much wider than my body. The head of a gray entity peered up at me from where he was standing below me. He was supervising my descent. Now, as she's on the, as she's taken to the underground laboratory, she's being advised not just by the military personnel, but by a human chrononaut from 33rd century, 1,200 years in the future, dressed in a long white robe, which is the way they dress. Okay, and he's telepathically communicating with her. Now, what he describes in the laboratory, though, Tina, was even more shocking. She said, beyond me, I could see, and I'm quoting now, 50 or more cream-colored, woolly-shaped sheep hanging there, suspended by nylon-type cords. They did not appear to be dead because there was no smell at all. There was no blood, and they did not appear to be suffering. There were cattle hanging there, too.
Huh.
As I passed by more closely, now this gets really heavy, I could see many pinkish human-like fetuses at different stages of development. They were all suspended in clear liquid and encased in oval-like jars. The containers were like simulated wombs. Now, prior to this missing time episode, when she was a teenager, she had a pregnancy that spontaneously disappeared. By her gynecologist, had no explanation for this. So while she's in this underground laboratory, she is exposed to a hybrid half-human, half-ET that comes up to Tina and introduces her as her daughter, Anna, who's about 15 years old.
Pick it up right from there, Bruce, when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM.